You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it to you.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hey, what's happening?
This is the movie show.
On Active FM.
Mm-hmm. I'm Sash.
My name is Ryan.
And, oh, we should have done our names backwards. He is...
Mayor.
And I am...
Hassess.
Hassess. But we could go with my full name. That's like a lot. That's Il Hassess.
I was going to say.
Sound like a terrorist or something.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
And we are doing our names backwards. Why?
Because Enola Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Enola's name's backwards is Alone.
Alone.
Which is very intense. So now I know what you're thinking. Why on earth are we only doing this movie now? Like, it came out 2 whole years ago.
It's a good question.
I honestly, okay, so this is what happened, right? Mm. So I watched the first one. I thought we did it. I have so many movies that I think we've done a movie show on.
Yeah, you need to.
And I need to start writing them down.
Start laying them out on the table.
I'm like, Ryan, what we did? No, we didn't. Yes, we did. No, we didn't. Are you sure? And then we didn't. So I thought we had done a movie show on it and we hadn't. And then Enola Holmes 2 came out this year and I watched it. And I was like, well, let's do Enola Holmes 2. And Ryan was like, but I haven't watched the first one. And I was like, oh. So we thought let's do one and then next week we'll do...
two.
Ta-da! Mm-hmm. So yes, we are doing Enola Holmes 1.
Yeah, in fact, I actually battled to get to find interviews on this one because the ones that are reviews and stuff, because most of them are on the first one.
Yeah,
I mean the
second one. Yeah.
So I was like starting off, hi, I'm Nana, and I'm Nana, and this is on Enola Holmes 2.
No.
Next one. So I was like, okay, Wikipedia. Here we go. Yeah, 2020 film.
Ryan, what were your thoughts of this film?
My thoughts. I couldn't Millie Bobby Brown, I couldn't get her out my I was shocked that this was 11.
Well, her hair's very long, number
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
She uses her British accent.
And she's British. I found that out through this film.
Oh,
as
you didn't
well.
Know she was British.
No clue.
Oh, okay.
Like all the whole time I have in my mind, I'm like, is that like angry kid that doesn't know where they're not angry, but that like scary
child that doesn't know English.
Child, exactly. All this time, and I'm just looking, I'm like, wow. Yeah. That's throughout the whole film, I was like, okay.
So you were just shocked at Millie Bobby Brown?
Yeah, I was just like, and then I saw interviews and I'm like, and then I was just like, yeah, otherwise the film generally was good. Watched it with my family. Everybody loved it. Everybody stayed awake. And it was a good film. And when it ended, I was like, ah. And then we went to sleep. So it was very good.
I feel like your standard thing after watching a movie is going to sleep. Like you watch a movie and go to sleep.
Well,
and if it wasn't good, it stopped you from sleeping.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't. Yeah. I just go to bed. Hoping I don't get nightmares.
Okay. Did you have nightmares after this one?
No.
And the whole fourth wall break, because obviously Millie Bobby Brown consistently throughout the film, they wrote it in such a way where she constantly is talking to the camera, which is obviously breaking the fourth wall. What were your thoughts of it?
That was quite interesting. I loved it. And then throughout my research, I found out that it was her idea to break the fourth wall.
To keep breaking the fourth
wall.
And
I thought it came from the director, because the director does another series called, it's a more like sort of British series, and it's called Fleabag, and the woman breaks the fourth wall.
As well.
Like exactly the way, even the talking style, all of that is exactly the same. So I don't know if Millie Bobby Brown was like, oh, it's that director. Yeah. And she's British as
Maybe
well. Maybe
so that's
makes sense.
Why she asked for, because do you know that she was a producer on this film?
Yeah. So, and on top of that, I'm like, this is no, what did we call her? Not angry, dangerous.
Dangerous child with.
Dangerous child that doesn't know how to talk. What? Doesn't know how to speak English.
Yes.
Or whatever.
So this actually made Millie Bobby Brown one of the youngest actresses to have a producer credit at the age of 16. In fact, I think she was 15 when they filmed it. So, but obviously they'll
this
take
is obviously post Stranger Things, right?
Well, it would have been before season 4 was released.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching an interview with her and Louis Partridge, and the interviewer still asked her about Stranger Things season 4, and she said, I can't say anything. So it's, it was 2020, yeah. So and Stranger Things only came out this year.
If you go look at Stranger Things 1, she had no hair.
And she was young.
That's what I'm saying.
But you know, so when watching the behind the scenes footage, they did have stunt doubles, but a lot of the times Millie Bobby Brown was doing the fight scenes, like a lot of the times. Mm. And the two fighting techniques she uses throughout the film is boxing and jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, that.
And kick. She actually went to those classes. She still had a shaved head of hair. So they thought she was a boy, and she was just like, it's too much to explain. I'm just going to let them think I'm a boy. So she literally went to these boxing classes. Mm.
Wait, was this for this film or for Stranger Things?
I don't think it was for this film. I think she just went, you know, like, I want to go do ballet or I want to go do boxing.
Being an actor is cool because, yeah, like I said, you in previous shows, you learn a lot of skills.
Yeah.
Flying helicopters, you know how to fight. Don't mess with an actor. Do not mess, especially like
unless they've only done rom-coms.
You never know, eh? You never know. Maybe they hadn't, you know, released, or they were during filming of some really big Jackie Chan film starring that actor that you're about to mess with. You never know.
Right. Yet they hire bodyguards.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not bulletproof. But then again, a bodyguard is not. That's so true.
Mm.
Why do they? I think bodyguards is more crowd control.
Yeah.
Sorry, ma'am. Sorry.
Or they just don't want to be known as the actor that like took down 10 crazy fans and killed them. Because,
Then you have a lawsuit.
But like watching the B-roll footage, it was actually quite interesting because like it was a very physical film. There was obviously a lot of fighting in it. Yeah. And like even the whole train sequence, the way they did that train sequence was actually very cool. They didn't obviously film it on... Okay, not obviously, because like there have been films where they've actually filmed it on a train. Mm. This one, they actually went to like a sound studio. They built a train, a stationary train. It didn't move at all. And I still remember the... I don't know if it was the guy who was breaking... I don't know if he was involved in the VFX. I think he was because he kind of like went through the process. But he was saying the irony of it was the camera was on tracks, but the train itself was stationary. And obviously they would have the camera like sweeping. Yeah. And then they had like wind machines and stuff just to help the actors, because obviously the more like physical elements you can like give them or put on them to make them kind of feel what it would be like in that situation, the better for their acting. Mm. And then,
something that they spoke about with the production was that with her breaking the fourth wall, especially when she's in midst action, so she's busy walking away or she's busy walking and she turns to the camera and talks, you would think that, no, you know, you just point and shoot. But the focus puller, like they actually said it was quite a challenge.
Sure, okay,
keeping
imagine.
Just her facing in focus. In focus, especially because the gaps sort of widen and broaden? Mm. Broaden?
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Widen and shrink.
They vary. Yeah. Because sometimes, you know, well, you know, use your imagination. The cameraman's going a bit faster than, you know, but it's just keeping, and if you look at it, it's very, very sharp and focused. So
one thing that was very good, obviously they went back to like the Victorian era. Yeah. So like costume design.
That was very on Wikipedia, they actually talk about the Victorian age. And I was like, wait, what does that mean? And it was obviously a period. Okay, I only found this out now. But it was a period. What was the name? Victoria, the Queen.
Queen Victoria.
The Queen Victoria. Like, imagine, like, that's your era. Like, that's how your name, you know, not just as king, but there was an era. It just sounds so powerful.
Oh, named after you.
Hey?
Yeah. But now, it's difficult to create that because, like, you have to build sets because you can't just pick up a camera and start filming in your house, you know, because your house, unless you have a Victorian-style house, which is... Could happen, but it's not likely.
Those people are out there.
Yeah. But, and even like the costume, and the costume design was very, very good. So I think like from that perspective, also I liked the style of the way they made the film, like with the whole pictures and like when she told backstories, they brought it, because obviously This is based off of a book series. So there's obviously the Sherlock Holmes, because Enola Holmes is Sherlock's younger sister. So there was the Sherlock series, and then there is actually an Enola Holmes series. And Millie Bobby Brown and her sister actually read them when they were kids and wanted to make the films. And I think while she was on production for Godzilla, she then got whatever production company it was that backed them. It was Legendary Entertainment then offered financing to her, and then she made the film. She was paid $6 million for her starring role and $500,000 as a producer fee.
Wow.
That's how much she made off the film. That's
a lot of money.
But like the fact that they, because you know in books when you read, not all books, but a lot of books will have pictures, but they're not like, they'll often be like sketches in a way. So it's like a pencil drawing or whatever. And I found like when they did those flashbacks, I suppose that's what they were, but they were in the form of like pictures, and then they'd have the different characters like pop up. And I thought that was like the creative aspect of
the
film.
Even the way they did some of the cuts when she went back, because like you would see her like maybe in that current day, and then let's say she threw a punch and then she like ducked, and the next one coming up is like another girl, and then it cuts to like when she was so the cuts in that were pretty creative. It just,
and also like I like the way they did it. So when she fights, you know, when she goes to, I can't remember what it was. I don't know if it was a firework factory or, you know, she goes to
some sort of gunpowder.
Yes. And then the guy that was looking for Lord Tewkesbury finds her. And then obviously there's a whole fight that ensues. And I liked how they jumped back there to her mother teaching her how to fight, because you first of all had context as to why this chick knows how to fight, because it's not normal for a chick to know how to fight. But also in a lot of movies, the females like just destroy the men. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like it was nothing.
One.
Not in this one. Like there was a couple of times I was just like, this chick is dead. Mm. And then when he drowns her, that underwater shot was insane. But I liked how they also, even though she was in such a bad spot, they brought in like a comedic element to it.
Yeah.
So the whole, because she was interacting with the camera and because she wasn't like panicking.
She would just get punched, and then like I liked the way that she would sort of like give that sort of like look at the camera as if to be like, and she didn't say anything, but you knew she was like, oh, imagine that, you know?
Yeah.
Like you would sort of catch on with what she was saying.
And even when, this is brilliant for me, I'm like, if you are ever being drowned, I know that, or like,
I was thinking
drowned,
about that, yeah.
Like, if you have, and hopefully that never happens to you, but if it does, pretend that you've died, because then they'll let go of you.
And get the timing right.
Yes.
Because if it's too soon, then, so you got to kind of fight a bit. You're like, okay, how much oxygen have I got left? And then you're like, okay. I think now about, okay, let's do the twitch.
There we go.
Okay,
and
let me last fight.
Limp. And then they'll let go of
let
you.
Go.
And then, but I love the wink underwater. Mm. And then she obviously comes. I thought that was very, that was like, that's smart.
I just like, that worked.
But in that sequence, so before the guy comes, she obviously goes into the factory and she's busy looking at, and then she's looking at the items on the table and then discovers that her mother's been involved in creating like bombs and stuff. There, I noticed a editing continuity issue that I didn't notice before. So what happens is she's walking past the table, then she stops, looks at something, then she carries on walking, and then I think she stops again. But then they have her in a long shot, then she carries on walking, they jump to a close-up, then they jump back to the long shot, but it's actually just the previous shot continuing. Do you understand what I'm saying? But she wasn't even in the right position, but they obviously didn't have the footage that they needed, so they kind of just, you know, were like, I'm sure no one will notice.
That'll have to suffice.
And then, but I didn't notice the first time watching it. That probably would have been, because I watched it in 2020. I think I watched it possibly twice.
Wow.
In 2020.
Really?
I watched it by myself, and then I think I showed my family, and then I watched it again now because I needed a refresher. I honestly, though, when I first watched it, so like, I felt like there was a bit of a feminist message within it. Obviously, it's obviously centered around a female in a very male dominated world.
It's kind of weird because of what happened to the Gran as well. So it's kind of like, because didn't the Gran, no, not even with the, yeah, sort
Which
of with Gran? The Gran. The
Tewkesbury, whatever his name
the
is.
The person that was,
the antagonist.
The killing,
okay,
yeah,
yes,
that's
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, so after watching Enola Holmes 2, after watching Enola Holmes, I was like, it wouldn't go on my greatest movie list. It was like,
that's what
and
never
I remember
made it
speaking
here.
To Tim about it, and he hated it. He said the fourth wall breaks were so stupid. I was just like, okay. Then when Enola Holmes 2 came out, I was like, you know what? Let me watch it. So I watched it, and what I found was they brought in a lot more of the Sherlock Holmes story and characters into number two. Because even like Sherlock Holmes in this one, he's not Sherlock Holmes. Do you understand? He's just got that, like, he doesn't do what Sherlock Holmes normally does. Do you understand? Like, he's quite a distinguishable gentleman.
He's just sort of a presence
like,
there.
Like, Sherlock Holmes is not distinguished by any means. He's the Mad Hatter running around solving. He's brilliant. He's genius, but he's not. He would not describe him as a gentleman. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, like, I felt the way they portrayed him was more like that. But then in the second one, the way they brought in the other characters and then there's a bit more focus on Sherlock Holmes. And so I felt like I really, really, really enjoyed the second one. And then when I rewatched the first one, because of the second one, I was actually able to enjoy the first one because now you've almost got the context of the second one. Yeah. So I think
and
what
where
they
are you
did,
going? Okay, that's cool.
What they did the second one very well. Sometimes, like we've always said this, they sometimes do the first movie and then the second one comes out and you're just like, that was terrible. The first one was way better. And then other times, like this, in this case, they actually improve the series as a whole by the way that they do the second one. The other thing though is the actors. So Henry Cavill and Sam Claflin. So they were that was Mycroft.
That guy shocked me.
Both of those actors are actually so brilliant because I can pick roles that they've done where I've completely hated them.
You're talking about Hunger Games with
like
the
not okay. I didn't really hate Sam in Hunger Games.
I couldn't
this
believe
one,
it was him.
This one I didn't like him. Is I it? Hated his character in this one. I really didn't like him. And then like Henry Cavill in Mission Impossible, didn't like him at all. Like he had the whole moustache thing going. But like in this film, I love Henry. Like he's Henry. You like Henry Cavill. And then watching an interview, so I watched two interviews with Millie Bobby Brown, Henry Cavill, and Sam Claflin. And Sam is so nice. He's such a nice guy. You know, you're just like, how is this the same person? I disliked you. Like, you know, when you see his face, you're just like, oh, I don't like that guy. Literally, and good then actor. In interviews, you're just like, okay, no, he's actually a nice person. But they're very good actors because they can get you not to like them. Which, as an actor, that's your job. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, the audience, if you're playing in an antagonistic role, the audience should have certain feelings about you. Like, they shouldn't just go, oh, I like that person. So now I'm not, even though they're morally wrong and doing bad things, I still like, do you understand what I'm saying? So I think from a cast perspective, and I think that the young guy, Louis, who played Lord Tewkesbury, that this was his first acting role. In fact, he was still in school at the time.
I didn't recognize him from anywhere.
No.
I was just like, who's this guy?
I know he's gone on to do other things since then, but this was his like first major role. And Millie Bobby Brown also had a part in choosing him because obviously she had the producer elements to her role. So, but I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, he did.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But overall, I think it's an enjoyable film. It's not like a heavy film. And it is a film where you kind of have to think. So like you obviously have to watch it. It's
really?
A murder. It's a not a murder mystery. It's a what's it called? Crime mystery? Crime drama?
I think it's a crime mystery.
Yeah. So you obviously have to like, mystery crime. You have to watch it to like.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're going to get to the end and you're just going to be like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just felt like I didn't really have that space to sort of figure out anything because the film was just sort of leading you along type of thing. What's quite interesting is that this film made it to be one of the films that were filmed during the whole COVID pandemic. So originally it was going to be released at cinemas, but then Netflix obviously picked it up and instead they sort of released it. And this actually became one of the most watched original Netflix film releases.
Yeah.
With an estimate of 76 million households watching the film over just the first 4 weeks.
Sure. And Netflix was still going through the whole cuties thing that had just come out at that stage.
Yeah.
So the fact that this film still did that, it shows that it was Netflix technically did need it. I know it belonged to Warner Brothers first, but then due to I think the pandemic really hits like the production companies that didn't have a streaming solution. I know, like, since then, I don't know when Paramount Plus came out, but I personally hadn't heard about it before 2020.
It almost felt like Netflix picked it up quite quickly, hey? Because wasn't this also around a time where there weren't too many Netflix films yet?
No,
they were now starting. They were now starting to pick up the films. So this was obviously like, it's almost like they had a handful. They already knew, okay, guys, okay, we need to start picking. So they acted quite quickly on picking up films, and now everybody else is like, I feel like Netflix is like the Macintosh of the filming, you know.
Of the streaming.
Like they do stuff and everyone's like, oh, look, they're doing that. Okay, now we're also going to do it, you know, type of thing. So
last fact, right? Helena Bonham Carter, who is a brilliant actress. She is so good. She's often with Johnny Depp. So if you don't, she was the mother, Eudoria.
That's right.
So she was the Red Queen in the Alice in Wonderland. Mm. She's also played the Queen's sister Margaret in the Crown series. But in this, she plays the committed suffragette Eudoria Holmes. But in real life, she's actually the great-granddaughter of H.H. Asquith, who served as the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1908 to 1916.
Oh, cool.
So he was Prime Minister during like the First World War, and that was during the height of the suffrage movement. He was also a staunch opponent of votes for women. So now he's like great granddaughter's like, stuff you, man! Stuff you! Yeah.
It's your great grandfather. I don't care. Stuff him.
But it's quite interesting that your great grandfather was the Prime Minister.
He's not alive
during
anymore.
World War One. It's like, okay.
And if he was alive today, I would say,
stuff you, man! Yeah, so
great film. I'm looking forward to the second one.
Yeah, so go watch the second one, and then next week you'll be like, oh yeah, I also like that part. But this has been The Movie Show
on your favorite ORSPS.
Peace.
Cheers.
Active FM is everywhere. Go find us and click that button. Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and so much more. See all the fun posts, get involved in interesting discussions, voice your opinions, and get updates by following us on social media. Spread the word. It's that simple. Become part of the family today, because radio has never been better.